I'd like to welcome this evening in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to his house. Dave and Patsy, it's nice to see you here. I want to thank my brothers Ed Turner and Jim back this evening as they have graciously accepted the responsibilities coming up here and sharing in their responsibilities this evening. And I want you to pay particular attention and care to Randy. I know that he's put in a lot of hours this week, prayer and fasting on this sermon, and I know he's feeling a lot of pressure this evening, so I ask that you would give him not only your prayers, but also your attention. I'll share with the call to worship with you this morning out of the Doctrine, this evening, I'm sorry, out of the Doctrine and Covenants, out of the 10th section. Two, three through four C. It looks like I would have been smart enough to mark it ahead of time. Therefore, if you will ask of me, you shall receive. If you will knock, it shall be opened unto you. Now as you have asked, behold, I say unto you, keep my commandments and seek to bring forth and establish the cause of Zion. Seek not for riches, but for wisdom. And behold, the mysteries of God shall be unfolded unto you, and then shall you be made rich. Behold, he that hath eternal life is rich. Verily, verily, I say unto you, even as you desire of me, so shall it be done unto you. And if you desire, you shall be the means of doing much good in this generation. Say nothing but repentance unto this generation. Keep my commandments and assist to bring forth my work according to my commandments, and you shall be blessed. Shall we continue with the singing of hymn number 391? Thank you.
Our Heavenly Father, by the mercy and His love, we bow before Thee and pray the Lord and hope that we gather His house and blessed of the Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, and pray for the speaker and Randy. Amen.
Chapter 16 of Matthew, we read these words, starting with verse 14. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elias, and others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven." From out of Luke 4, 4th chapter, 18th verse. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And on down to verse 31. "And He came down to Capernaum, a city in Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at His doctrine, for His words were with power."
Thank you.
always a privilege to stand before the saints, but it's also in fear and trembling, and especially tonight, because you have a special message to come to you, a special message to come to a special people for a special time. Do you know the Christ, that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? Do you know that? How do you know? How do you know that you know? A lot of people think that they know. Well, how do you know that you know? That's a really important question to ask and answer. How do you know that you know? Because there is a process by which the Father reveals the Son to us. Truth cannot be perceived by flesh and blood. It doesn't work that way. There's a veil here. Back in Genesis in the 6th chapter, the stage is set and the pattern is given. It was given to Adam. And it was in the sorry, I lost it. Okay, the essence of this was Adam and Eve were thrown out of the garden because of disobedience. So, to redeem them, to show that the redemption was going to come, He began to show a plan. And the plan was that He was going to redeem man by blood, by the shedding of blood, by the shedding of blood of Christ. And so He gave him this commandment to bring sacrifice. And He did that. And it says that after many days, an angel came to Adam and said, "What are you doing?" And Adam said, "I really messed up that first one. I'm not going to mess this one up. But I have no clue." And then it was revealed to him that it was symbolic, it was in similitude of the great eternal sacrifice that was given on the cross by Christ. Here it is being revealed. He could not perceive it. He's killing an animal and he's putting it on a burnt sacrifice and there's nothing there. There's no perception. There's nothing he can hear, there's nothing he can see to make him to understand that this is symbolic of something that's going to take place. It took an angelic message to come to him and explain to him, this is what it means. So you cannot, Jesus himself told Peter, he said, "Now that you know," he said, that Peter knew that he was Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. But it was not revealed to him through his flesh or anyone else's flesh. Nobody came and taught him, "This is the Christ." Nobody taught him that. It was revealed by the Father. Now that's an ongoing process. That's how we know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. What's another word for Christ? What's another word for Jesus Christ? Truth. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the light. I am the law. I am the Word. So it is truth revealed. Truth has to be revealed. That's why we can never get together based on our beliefs. It's never going to happen because everybody believes something different. We have to come together on something that is solid, does not change. And it has to be by revelation, not by perception. It comes as it's revealed to us. Brother Bill,
it was revealed to me while I was preparing for this sermon that when you pray for those good gifts and blessings, I got so tired of hearing, I thought it was a canned prayer, but in preparation for this sermon, the Spirit revealed to me that you were praying that under the direction of the Spirit. He wants you to know that. And that's what He wants. He wants us to have those good gifts and blessings. He wants to reveal Himself to us. But there's something that we're missing that we're not doing. And it's important. It's imperative. A good friend and a good brother spoke of it this morning in class. And he nailed it. This whole thing has been put together by the Spirit this week. As I prayed and fasted over, what do you want me to do? And he started showing me. This is what it was, just like it was handed to me on a plate. All those times I came before you to preach, I found out I'd been doing it all wrong because I didn't have the Spirit. And so I'd prayed and fasted. It was like 3 years ago. I prayed and fasted over a sermon, and I had the sermon handed to me. I thought, oh, now I understand how that works. Now I understand. And so I decided I would never preach again without praying and fasting. And so once again, I had the sermon handed to me. Whether or not I can deliver to you intact is another question, but it was like it was handed to me with the responsibility to share it with you complete. There's a message here tonight, and I want you to hear it. And I'm doing it out of love. I'm doing it out of the love of God that is supposed to be resident in my life and in my heart, and I am striving so hard, diligently, have that love present in my life. And it's so hard because I have so selfish and so self-centered, and it's such a struggle, and sometimes I just have to let go and say, I'm done. You just do it. You just take over and just lead me. And just help me just to do your will. And it's just so I come to you in all the humility I can muster. If it were protocol for me to get down on my hands and knees or on my face before you, I would do it. But it's not protocol. It probably would not be dignified. Because I do not want to disturb this message, and I don't want to disturb the power by which it was given to me. And the authorship saying, I want you to deliver it to my people intact. I want you to make sure that they understand what you're saying. So it's here to be delivered in absolute simplicity. How do we know that Jesus is the Christ? Because it's constant, the unfolding revelation of Christ in our lives. That's how we know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's how we know. It wasn't once. It didn't just happen once 20 years ago. And I know that because of that experience long, 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 long ago, covered with dust. It's every day. It's constant. It's continually. You get up in the morning and have Christ revealed to you. More. That's why we're called to repent. Because now I'm free to learn more. I'm turning loose of what I thought I knew. And I'm now free to learn more. So, how this works. I was at work one day minding my own business, or minding the store. And the Spirit spoke to me and said, you are to teach my people to walk in the Spirit. And that was all new to me, and I was just going, yes. Yes, I have my marching orders now. And I was so excited. I spent a whole month just being excited. And I finally realized I hadn't a clue what they meant. So I went to the Lord. I said, what are you talking about? And He said, this is exactly what He said, word for word. You do the numbers. I thought, Okay, this is obviously something I'm supposed to know. So I went back and I began to renegotiate the things that I thought I knew, looking over them, finding out what it means to walk in the Spirit. And I finally realized to walk in the Spirit was simply meant to repent and follow Jesus. And then following that, by extension, I found out repenting and following Jesus is doctrine. That's His doctrine. That's how He manifests Himself to us, by His doctrine. So I began this process of trying to learn how to walk in the Spirit. And it's very, very difficult because I have so much to unlearn. The process itself is very simple. It's incredibly simple. Everything about the gospel is incredibly simple. I just keep stumbling over it, finding new things that are so simple. How can I reconcile this? I don't understand. How can it be that simple? But it is. It's simple. If it were any other way, we could never apprehend unto it. We'd never be able to understand. Because God is infinite and eternal. And we would never be able to understand. Except that He reveals Himself to us in incredible simplicity. It's simple. So, we repent. Seek to do the Father's will. Which is what? To follow Jesus. Repent, follow Jesus, keep His commandments. And then, Jesus is revealed to us as the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then, the Lectures of Faith tells us that that faith has now become knowledge. And that knowledge, it says that knowledge is power. And that is power to do the Father's will. And what is the Father's will? To bring forth the kingdom. So as Christ is revealed to us in our lives, we are more and more empowered, given the capacity to bring forth the kingdom. It's an ongoing process. If you watch enough political TV, and if you listen to enough political radio, you will, at one point, encounter this expression. There is no reality, only perception. And so what that means is that they create a fake reality. One, they develop a persona that they can, a facade that they can broadcast to people and say, this is who I am. And then you make people believe that this is reality, when in fact it's not. So it's a fake reality. I mean, it's not real. And that is the world that we have developed. We have no reality, only perception. Because that's how we perceive the world around us, through our eyes and our ears. That's how we perceive it. That's why we're called to fast, study, pray, walk in the Spirit, so that Jesus Christ can be revealed to us the reality of who He is. The truth can be revealed to us. And so instead of, no, there is no reality, only perception, it becomes there is no perception, only reality. It changes over when we are quickened within the inner man. There has to be a quickening. There has to be a place, a time where we come to the Lord and say and surrender. We come in covenant with Him and we become quickened. We're dead in trespasses until that happens. And then He quickens us within the inner man. He gives us life. Makes us alive. There's power in this life. There's power in this gospel. And it's important that we begin to live by every word. And one of the things that we have left out is the word of wisdom. And I asked my good brother tonight to come when he came, bring those words with him because he spoke those words in class today. Of how important those words are, because one of the things that we have done is we have misunderstood the way that they were given to us because we're not, quote unquote, given by commandment. So consequently, then we felt free to simply lay them aside. And that's not why they were given that way. How we have treated them is by the letter of the law. The letter of the law, by the letter of the law, simply says, we don't have to do it, so we're not going to. That's the letter of the law. Now, if we had done the other way, if it had been given by commandment, it would have been exactly opposite. You don't preach here, you don't teach here, you don't operate here until you follow the word of wisdom. And so that's why it was given, it was not given by commandment, not to be cast aside, but to be followed, because there is power in His words that we are not making ourselves available to. The good gifts and blessings that you pray over every week, and the Lord wants you to know that He is very pleased that you're praying and thanksgiving for those good gifts and blessings. And keep praying and thanksgiving for those good gifts and blessings. It wasn't me, trust me, it wasn't me, because I was not happy with you praying, because it was like a canned prayer. Well, He quit praying for that. It was a spirit revealing to me that He is very pleased, and that you're praying that under His direction. So keep praying that prayer. I want to go back, and I want to look at some things in Daniel. I'm going to read this. Not entirely, but it's an account here. It's really important. It's back in Daniel, first chapter. Okay, now Daniel and his three companions have been taken captive, living in. They are now getting settled into Babylon, and they're under the jurisdiction of a eunuch, and he has charge of them, and he has charge of their care. They are there to learn the ways of Babylon. They're there to be taught. And so, he's just, okay, here's a bunk. Here's your meal ticket. This is where you're going to go to school. Yada, 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 you know, laid it all out. And Daniel went to him and said, we don't want to eat this stuff. That's not how we grew up. That's not what we were taught, that it was right. And the eunuch said, I'm sorry, but this is protocol. This is the way it is. This is the way it works. And if I were to feed you something different and you came before the king looking haggard, he would take my head. I'm sorry, I can't do this. So Daniel goes through and he says, let's put it to a test. You test this for 10 days, okay? And the eunuch agreed. Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days and let them give us pulse. And there's this raging argument over what pulse is. And I want to bypass that completely. I'll just throw that aside, and we'll just work on that later by revelation. Let's just, you know, let's pulse. It comes out of the ground. Just let's leave it there. It grows out of the ground. I beseech thee 10 days, let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So that's what they did. Now, back in verse 17, go down to verse 17. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in learning and wisdom, and Daniel, understanding in all visions and dreams, and at the end of the days, which was for 2 years. The king had said, bring them in, and then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them. And among them, now this is a competition. The best of the best of the best is going to go before the king. I mean, it's no different than what we have today. It was a competition. Who's the best here? Who is best at math? Who's best at, you know, there's a whole program here that they were involved in, and who's best at it? And these are the ones that went before the king. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in all matters of wisdom, understanding. And he found them. Now this is what's really, I want, here's what the Spirit was really emphasizing to me. If I can make this is where the disconnect has been, right here. And if I can go across this disconnect here, if I can make it across the disconnect, so that we have communion, so that we, tonight, we can have a place where heaven touches earth. If we can just have this communion to have an understanding of what the Lord is trying to say, to show us how to bring forth the kingdom. And found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in the realm. Now, that was absolutely amazing. Yeah. So we become men and women of sound understanding because we do what he says. Simple obedience. Remember when the children of Israel walked around Jericho? Remember that? How many times did they walk around? Do you remember how many times they walked around? They walked around 13 times. Now, what does that mean? Nothing. Because 13 is the number of rebellion, so that you can't add those numbers up. Okay, they walked around once a day for 6 days. What does number 6 represent? What does it stand for? That's the number of man. Okay, they walked around once a day for 6 days, representing the works of man. What happened? Nothing. They were there to have the walls fall down, and the works of man accomplished what? Nothing. On the seventh day, they walked around Jericho 7 times. What happened? The walls fell in. What part did the people play in having those walls fall down? Nothing. They didn't have equipment. They didn't have dynamite. They didn't have shovels. They didn't have picks. They didn't have nothing. They shouted. They blew the ram's horn. That was it. And the double set of walls in Jericho fell in when they did what he said. It's very, very simple. It's laid out before us continually how simple this is. Now, it seems that the Spirit has a pattern of talking with me at work. I'll be at work, and the Spirit will bring something to my mind. And one day I was at work, and the Scripture, I think it's back in section 3, it talks about how the Book of Mormon was being translated, 116 pages were stolen, they were recovered, and the Lord told them, don't recopy them. Because I will show to them, which was to them and to the world, that my wisdom is greater than the cunning of the devil. And so that's what the Spirit brought to my mind. And then it asked me a question. how much greater? And I had to stop and think. How much greater is the wisdom of God than the cunning of the devil? And the answer after I thought about it was a no-brainer. Infinitely greater. Infinitely greater wisdom than the cunning of the devil. So whatever he throws at us, and it's going to be in complexity. When the cunning of the devil comes to us, you can see it coming because it's going to be extremely complex. IRS regulations, EPA regulations, Jackson County regulations. I see some smiles there. These regulations, cunning of the devil. Whereas what has been given to us, the wisdom of God, is infinitely greater than the cunning of the devil, and it's revealed to us how? In incredible simplicity. It's simple. And all he's doing is saying, just do what I tell you to do. So that's it. That's all he's told me. He said, just go and do what I tell you to do. What does it mean to be a peculiar people? That word has lost almost all of its meaning in modern translation. That word peculiar just has a very negative connotation anymore. And I prefer, I don't know if this is right or not, but I prefer that word anointed. To become an anointed people. Let me explain to you what I mean. Now, back in the days of the Nephites, there were Lamanites that were converted. And they swore that they would never again take weapons of war to shed men's blood. And they took an oath to do that. And the Nephites were defending them, and they were having a horrible war. They were having an incredible war with the Lamanites. And these converted Lamanites were going to break that oath. And Helaman, or Nephi, you know, Alma told them, I don't want you to do that. Don't do that. But they had sons. And these sons had not taken that oath. And these sons had not been trained in warfare. They'd been trained in the ways of peace. And they volunteered. They got some training. Here's a sword. This is the business end. This is the end you hold. And that was how, that was, you know, you go through basic and you get in the army. And then they had this tremendous battle. And afterwards, Helaman, who was leading them, after it was all said and done, he was terrified that his little army had been decimated. And he went through and he numbered them. There were 2,000 that had been recruited. They went up against hardened veteran warriors trained to fight from the cradle. Literally. And he numbered them. Expecting it to be decimated. And not one had fallen in battle. Not one. And he goes through and he recounts this. And he said, and he's writing in a letter to Chief Captain Moroni, and he said, not only were they not none killed, not only were none of them slain, but Jesus Christ was revealed to them in knowledge how to fight. And not only was it revealed to them how to fight, it was given to them miraculous power, miraculous strength to fight. That says that it frightened the entire Lamanite army and they surrendered. That's what will happen if we just do what he says. We're trying to do it the Babylonian way. And we're finding out, we found out, we've got our shins kicked in. We've had our faces bloodied. and we found out it's not working. All we have to do is do what he says. If we're obedient to him, we had the upper 90% of our minds available to us, like Daniel and his brothers had. They were 10 times better. We only have that 10%. What would happen if we had that extra 90% available to us and have the great treasures of wisdom and knowledge being revealed to us so we could begin to lay the foundation of the city of Zion? We could have those simple things revealed to us. Running out of time here. Before I was really told I was to learn to walk in the Spirit, I was dealing with some severe health problems, and I was trying to do it, to follow the word of wisdom. And I was being taught how to walk in the Spirit without the Spirit actually telling me, I'm going to teach you how to walk in the Spirit. I want you to learn how to walk in the Spirit. And so I was trying. He would come and reveal something to me. Somebody would bring something to me, and I'd go, and the Spirit, the witness of the Spirit would be, follow him. Do that. Okay, all right. I come across a website, and the witness of the Spirit would be, now do that. It's like, okay. And it went on and on like this, and not any noticeable improvement in my health. I'm going, what, am I really following that? Is this you? Are you really speaking to me? Is this you? Or am I just imagine this. What's going on? And it was a real struggle. But I was trying. I was doing the best I could to follow the word of wisdom and walk in the Spirit without him having already told me, I want you to walk in the Spirit and teach others to walk in the Spirit. That hadn't happened yet. And the day came where, for reasons that I'm still at a loss to explain, my body began to bail on me. To go back to a condition that happened to me years ago where I was incapacitated. My health was so bad, I was completely incapacitated. I couldn't work. I hardly put words together to talk. And I could feel my body regressing back to that point. And I was helpless to stop it. And I went to the Lord about this and I said, I've done everything I know how to do to follow you, to follow his doctrine, to make it real in my life. You signed off on it. You said this is your word. You said your power's in it. And I'm trusting you. I don't know how to stop it. My body's going to crash and I don't know what to do about it. And when I had said that, the Spirit spoke to me and said, I will not allow your body to crash. Hope. What is hope? Do you know what hope is? Can you explain? Can you give me a definition, a working definition of hope? It's very important to understand this. We pretty much understand faith and we understand charity. What is hope? In preparation for this sermon, the Spirit explained it to me. Hope is the unconditional, the absolute unconditional right to expect an outcome based on our response. The unconditional right that he gives us. We don't earn it. He gives it to us. He gives us the right to expect an outcome based on our response. We have to respond. That's called faith. We have to respond. As we do that, he gives us the right, the absolute unconditional right to expect an outcome. Now, after that experience, just very much recently, I had another experience. I attend a daily prayer group that meets most of the time, as often as we can, on the temple lot. And we retreat to a private home when the weather becomes unacceptable. And this group has been going on for almost 2 years now. And I've attended as I've been able to. And there was a retreat. There was a retreat held about 3 weeks ago. It was the 22nd of September, so it was, you know, over a month ago now. And it was 3 days, or one full day and two partial days, and I got to go for part of the full day. And got up in the morning, got there, and unfortunately I got there late. Sitting in a circle, have a prayer meeting. I sat down. Season changed to testimony. I stood up and I shared what was on my heart. I have tried to follow the word of wisdom to the very best of my ability, and it's still not there. I'm just not there yet. And so I'm going to give it to God. I just give it. It's His. Whatever He wants. I've done the best I can with what I got, and I turn it completely over to Him. I let the consequence, let Him deal with the results. And there was, I sat down, and there was a lady that stood up, came to the center of the circle, and motioned me to the center. I have no idea what's going on. So I came. And then that whole circle stood up, came in, and prayed over me. Lord, what's going on? I don't feel the Spirit the way most of you say that you feel the Spirit. I have to be aware of the Spirit other ways. So I'm constantly looking to make sure that this is the Spirit. What's going on? No answer. So they finished. We all went back to sit down. I went back to reclaim my chair. And the Spirit spoke to me. It spoke to me in a way I've never experienced before. I've never experienced it that way, and I've never heard of anybody experiencing it that way. It came in through the side of my face like this, like a projectile. It just entered into my mind, just through that point right there. And it was not in words. It was in pure thought. I knew just that quick what He wanted done, because He didn't have to explain it in words. It was pure thought. The essence of it was, because you have been faithful. To do your best to keep the word of wisdom, I have now caused a great blessing to be poured out upon you through the prayers of my people. But I require of you to share it. I require of you to share that blessing. Not just with them, but wherever you go, I require you to share that blessing. Starting here with this people, I require of you to pray over them. No discussion. Is this really you, Lord? Is this really what you needed? No discussion. It was like it came. Respond or not respond. You have the opportunity now here to respond. If you don't, I will withhold the blessing. I responded. And I came to the first person. I got down on my knees and I prayed for this person. Prayed what I thought was a very ordinary prayer. I waited for the Spirit to come and take over. I waited for the Spirit to move my lips. I waited for the Spirit to just make everything work. And it didn't happen. I struggling with this. Is this really you? Because I know what we said. I know what happened here. But I've never heard of that happening before. Is this really you? And I just struggle with that through this entire experience. Is this really you? And so I prayed that prayer tentatively. And it was, in my opinion, a fairly ordinary prayer. I came to the next person. And it was a little bit less ordinary, but it was certainly nothing to write home about. I came to the next person. And the windows of heaven seemed to open. I was given to pray great and mighty things over her. But I still struggle. Is this you, Lord? Is this really you? Why aren't you moving my lips? Why aren't you making this happen? And then I came to the next person, which is a woman. Very, very dear friend. Somebody I've known for over 30 years. The Spirit spoke to me again. Said, pray for her standing up. No discussion. Do it or not do it. And so I went to her. I took her by the hand. I took her by the hands and raised her to her feet. I began to pray. And I prayed into the celestial kingdom. I prayed a mighty prayer over her. I prayed to let her know that her name was already inscribed in heaven, on the wall, in the hall of heroes. And that the very ground that she walked on rejoiced at her presence. And that it was going to be sanctified. It would be sanctified as she walked over it. Because Jesus Christ walked so closely with her that he touched the ground through her feet. And I continued on. I set her down. Continued on. Prayed for this entire group. Prayed prayers of encouragement, prayed prayers of admonition, prayed prayers of encouragement. I came to another woman. Again, a friend. And the Spirit let her know that she was to rejoice because of the way that she had raised her children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. She was to rejoice. And I continued on, and I finished. I sat down, still struggling with, is this you, Lord? Is this really from you? Still struggling. Because if this is from you, I require a witness at your hand. Because if you do not give me a witness, I will never do this again. I will have considered myself acting pretentiously. And I will never do it again. I'm trying to step out in faith. If I'm wrong, I will repent. And I will never do it again. No answer. Still struggle with that. Didn't know. Went to prayer group, I don't know, 2 weeks later. Someone there had videotaped different parts of that service. She came to me and said, would you like to see yourself praying over some of these people? I wasn't really interested. Like I was there. I know what happened. But she said, I think you really would like to see this. I said, I don't see why. I was there. I know what happened. I'm still struggling with it. I still don't know if that was a real experience or not. And she said, I think you really want to see this. So I looked. And I showed this woman that I prayed for both of us standing up. And it shows in the video her sitting down and me on my knees in front of her praying. That woman has been teaching the word of wisdom for 30 years. And the validation of that entire experience came through the word of wisdom. And that's what he meant when he says, I require of you to share it. To share this great blessing. And that's what this is. We have something that other religions do not have. When I was working at Nature's Pantry, there were different denominations that would come in and would apply themselves to various parts of the Word of Wisdom. One in particular, where they came in and they were doing what they call the Daniel chapter 1 diet. And they had eliminated heart disease out of their assembly. They had eliminated diabetes. Oh, you can't do that. Oh, that'll never happen. You can't do that. Those are signature words of darkness, and they need to be repented of. We need to get those things out of our vocabulary. Do what Caleb did. Caleb, you read Caleb's bio. And when Joshua says, follow me, boys. We're going to go in. No, we can't do that. We've got to spy out the land. Okay, all right, fine. 12, you guys 12. You 12 go. They went in there 40 days and came back. It's a great land. It's a massive land. It's in a blessed land. It's an incredible land. They came back with a single cluster of grapes. And it took two men to carry it. It's a massive land. It's great. It's blessed. But it's filled with people that are very, very strong. They've got wall cities. They've got a huge military. And there's giants. And the people rent their garments and wept and put dust on their heads. Oh, we can't do that. Oh, we can't do that. Caleb and Joshua came back with a good report. Yes, we can. God is with us. Yes, we can. God is with us. You go back and you read Caleb's bio. It's there in the Bible in Joshua. You read it in Joshua. And read his bio. It says he came back and brought a good report because he wholly followed the Lord. This was not isolated idea of what he brought. Hey, I'm really, really, really negative, but on this particular report I'm submitting, I'm going to give a good report. He brought a good report based on wholly following the Lord. Now, he talks about himself. It's a self-bio in there. And he says, when I was sent in to spy out the land, I was 40 years old. That was 45 years ago. I am now 85. All of his contemporaries except Joshua were dead. They had all died off. Everybody his age had died off except him and Joshua. And he said, none of my life force has been diminished. I'm as strong now as I was then. Because why? Because he brought a good report. We can do it. God is with us. When I prayed that prayer over this friend that has taught the word of wisdom for 30 years, there were things revealed to me I had never guessed. We can have fellowship with the natural world around us. We can have fellowship with the earth. The earth will rejoice at our very presence. Just to have us walk over it, the earth would rejoice. We were made from the earth. The earth is declared by God to be our mother. You read it. It seems really strange to say that because of it sounds through a new age, but it's right there in section 36. It talks about how the earth mourns because of the. And it came to pass that Enoch looked upon the earth and he heard a voice from the bowels thereof saying, "Woe, woe is me, the mother of men. I am pain, I am weary because of the wickedness of my children. When shall I rest and be cleansed from the filthiness which has gone forth out of me? When will my Creator sanctify me, that I may rest and righteousness abide for a season upon my face?" He tells us the earth is our mother, and there's a relationship there, and we can partake of that emotional relationship, but we have to respond. If we're going to eat from the king's table, we're not going to partake of these blessings. But he wants us to be a blessed people, an anointed people, a mighty people, a people of sound understanding, a people that are invincible, a joyful people, people filled with joy. People filled with life. People have wrung everything there is out of life because they know that there is life there in the gospel, and to go in and pull that out and absorb it and live it and share it. Flesh and blood cannot perceive truth, but neither can flesh and blood conceal it. So when these things are in us, they will abound. And we will become the anointed people that God wants us to be.
Our Heavenly Father, we come to you at the close of this day. this close of this service. And we've taken this day, dear Lord, with the opportunity in which that we can hold your name upon high, that we might come together united in our faith, believing that you, through the gift of your Spirit, might reveal in us our purpose. That in doing so, Lord, that we might be a light into the world as we carry your love within us. And as we depart from these walls and we go back into our homes and for the week that lies before us, I pray, dear God, that each one within the sound of the voice might recognize your calling in their life and the necessity in which it is that we must be obedient. And that response, help us, O God, to make that preparation that you might work within us and that we might take your word to the people that are starving of the truth, of the knowledge of your love for your creation. Bless us in our endeavors, dear God. Let each one know that there is a higher calling in their life, and a greater purpose yet to be discovered as you continue in your endeavors as we work out our salvation here on this earth. And we thank you, God, for your revelation of your love for your people. And we ask that you might seal our time together for the purpose of the building up of your kingdom in these last days, that we might be found about your business. And we give you the honor and the praise and the glory for all that we have, all that we are, and all that we ever will be. And we pray it in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.